Okay, welcome to our second quarantine episode of Sundays with Poppy. We have Poppy coming to us live over FaceTime. Say hi, Poppy.
Hi, girls. I love you both.
This is grandchild number one, Jordan, and I'm with...
grandchild number eight, Allie.
Poppy, we're so happy to see your face.
Thank you, Dio. I am too.
Well, we're so sad we can't actually be together, but thank goodness we have this so we can see your face and keep our podcast going. But
you know, Steve Jobs must have been 100 years ahead of his time to invent these things.
It's crazy, right?
Thank yep. God.
Well, I don't know what we'd do right now without them. Well,
I thought you wanted me to talk about my first meeting with my son-in-laws.
Oh, yeah, we're going to do that. We said maybe we'll do the son-in-law episode next week, because right now, given that we're in such a crazy time in our country, we thought it would be more timely to talk about this.
Okay, good.
But should we first kick it off with a riddle to keep it fun?
Well, what do you call a flock of flamingos?
What do you call a flock of flamingos, Allie?
That's a tough one, Poppy.
I didn't hear.
That's a tough one. I don't think I know.
Flamboyance.
Flamboyance.
Is that actually what it's called?
That's true.
So is that where the term flamboyant comes from?
I can't answer that. I don't know that.
We'll have to.
Probably.
We'll do some research.
We'll have to look that up.
Okay.
Any other riddles that we should ask before we kick it off?
Well, this is for Allie only. How many rooms does Buckingham Palace have?
He asked me this yesterday. I did not know.
I have no idea. A lot.
Take a guess, Allie.
Like 600?
745.
Wow, that was close. What'd you say?
Ooh. I didn't guess.
What was the name of James Madison's wife when he was president?
Allie, you should know this.
James Madison's wife? Do you know this?
I do yes. not.
They don't say it in Hamilton.
They do not say it in Hamilton. We only know U.S. history from Hamilton, and they do not tell us that.
I know about James Madison, but
did
I
you guys go to school
wife.
In America?
Who?
We did go to school in America. They don't teach us this stuff, Poppy. You're smarter than all of them.
Who is it?
Dolly Madison. Dolly.
Dolly Madison?
Dolly.
What'd she do?
She was a famous first lady.
Wow. Allie, we have to look her up.
She was famous in her time, as Jackie Kennedy was in her time.
Wow.
Dolly Madison. Okay.
Dolly Madison.
Those are a lot of good riddles, Pop.
All right, good.
All right, well, given that you just told us that you were watching Trump on TV, and given what's going on today, just to update everyone who might be listening from the future, we are living through history right now, as it's in the middle of a global pandemic, and now there has been essentially a revolution starting to happen following the death of an innocent black man by yet another innocent black man by the police. And there is every day rioting and protesting and looting happening across America. The cities are actually on fire. We have a president who's fueling the fire, and no one really knows what to say or what to do. So, Poppy, we wanted to first ask you what your thoughts are on all of this. But more importantly, have you ever seen anything like this in your lifetime?
No, but I could tell you about the traumas that I did see in my lifetime.
We would love to hear about that, because I feel like nothing can, like, this is in its own league, but you've lived through so many incredible moments and historical events. So can you tell us, can you take us through some of these historical events? Like, what's the craziest thing you ever remember happening in your life?
Well, I can't. Let me run through from the beginning. I was 4 years old when World War II started.
Right.
And when it ended, I was 8 years old. And they had a victory party in the garage under my apartment building.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother wouldn't let Michael and I go. So we leaned out the window. We lived on the first floor. And we looked. We watched.
Right.
The next, the next thing I remember was they had rationing during World War II for gasoline, for meat, for vegetables, grocery. You had to have a coupon before you could buy anything.
Mm-hmm.
The whole city of New York's rationing was run by my Aunt Rose, my mother's youngest sister.
Oh, right. I remember you started to tell us about this. Aunt Rose was in charge of the rationing. That's crazy.
Aunt Rose and my father's sister, Aunt Helen, that's how my parents met, went to Brooklyn Law School 100 years ago. Think about
crazy.
That.
Crazy.
Two Jewish girls in Brooklyn Law School 100 years ago.
We just watched the movie On the Basis of Sex about Ruth Bader Ginsburg and her story at Harvard Law and then the Supreme Court cases that she worked on.
And how she was like the only one of nine women
in her class. And the dean of Harvard Law invited the nine women over for a dinner, and he asked them at the dinner, "Why do you deserve to be here in place of a man?"
That's incredible.
Yeah.
And that's pretty crazy that both your aunts went to law school in that time.
Yeah.
My father's youngest sister and my mother's youngest sister.
We come from a family of strong, smart women.
That's how my mother and father met. My mother was smarter than all of them. We used to keep her college books in my garage. I don't know if we have them in New York.
Oh.
We might have thrown them out. I don't remember.
Maybe we have them here.
That's so cool.
Maybe. You should see the notes in the margins of the books, handwritten by my mother. Almost on every paragraph, she wrote a handwritten note.
That's so crazy.
That's so cool.
Wow.
My mother left school to take care of her mother, who I never met. I did meet. She died when I was about 1.5 or 2.
Oh, wow.
She was a big, fat woman. She was said to be a wonderful, smart woman.
Wow.
You know, whatever we have, me, my children, their children, whatever we have to the two guys that left Europe and came to America, rode in steerage on the boat for 2 weeks to get to America, came to Ellis Island, and the cop changed their name.
Right.
My father's father's name was Kitay, K-I-T-A-Y. When he came to Ellis Island, the Irish cop said to him, "What's your name?" Grandpa said, "Ich bin a Cohen. I'm a Cohen." So they made him Isaac Cohen. He made the best men's overcoat in America.
That's crazy. It really is crazy. Well, we owe it all to Isaac.
Yep. And my mother's father, Solomon, who fled Poland and came here. Solomon, I dearly loved. My father's father, I didn't really know, because my father didn't want to go into the overcoat business because his older brother Saul was there and he never quite got along with Saul.
Right.
So he went to my father and his brother and he asked him for a $500 loan to start his own business.
Wow.
And they turned him down. So for 15 years, he didn't talk to Saul. He didn't talk to my grandpa. I met my grandpa for the first time when he was 15. I was in Yale when he died, and they called me and they said, "Don't come to the funeral." So I didn't.
Wow. That's crazy.
That's crazy is right. So anyway.
Okay. So anyway, you told us about world. So you remember World War II ending and you were 8 and
right.
You're watching the party downstairs. So that's pretty crazy. The country must have felt pretty just so insane at that time.
Yep. There was rationing. You had to get a coupon for anything you bought.
Right.
Aunt Rose gave us extra coupons.
Thank God for Aunt Rose.
Yep.
What about Martin Luther King in the 60s? Do you remember?
Well, wait. I'm getting to that.
Oh, wait. There's more. Sorry. Go ahead.
But wait. There's more.
So we had a coupon for everything. So we go one day to the butcher with my mother, and there's a crowd of picketers around the butcher.
Right.
Saying, and in the crowd is my father's oldest sister, Molly, who you never heard of.
Nope. Molly, she
looks
okay.
She looks at my mother and she says, her sister is the head of the OPA. She has extra coupons. Let's picket more. Can you believe that?
Oh my God, that's crazy.
Isn't that nuts?
Yes.
The next thing I remember is, let me think a minute. The next thing I remember that was a tragedy in my lifetime was the 9/11.
No, I think there was some stuff in between.
Well, I'm trying to think. Oh, yeah, one of the worst weekends of our lives. I'm at the hospital as a chief resident.
Right.
And 1 o'clock in the afternoon, Walter Cronkite comes on the TV and he says President Kennedy has been shot and assassinated in Dallas, Texas.
Right.
That was the last time a president rode in an open car.
Yep. Wait, how old were you when that happened?
63, so I was 26.
No.
Do you remember where you were?
I was in the hospital. Ellen and Shari. Shari maybe was 6 months old at that time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She couldn't walk. She couldn't talk. Not like Karen.
And like that, I mean, that was a huge moment where the whole country was mourning, right?
That's correct. So for 2 days, Friday from 1 o'clock on till Sunday when he was buried, all we did was lay in bed and watch TV.
Right.
And we sat Shari in the corner and she didn't bother us for 2 days.
Right.
That's how good a baby your Shari was.
Thank goodness. Well, that's crazy. And
that was a terrible, terrible tragedy.
Yep.
So how do you think the world felt differently then as opposed to what's happening now?
I'm not quite sure I understand what you mean by that.
I think she means, well, that was a moment where the whole country was like grieving and feeling something and going through something together. And right now is somewhat similar, just in a different way. So I think she means, did that time feel similar or different to right now?
Well, that was such a personal thing because we loved John Kennedy and Jackie Onassis like they were part of our family.
Right.
At least your mother and I, your grandmother and I did. And that was like losing a cousin or an aunt or an uncle.
Right.
So a terrible tragedy.
It wouldn't be quite the same if we lost our president right now.
That's correct.
Well, so then around that was 63. So what do you remember about the Martin Luther King era during that same time?
Well, I could tell you exactly what I remember.
Because that obviously relates to now.
We were in Washington, D.C. when Martin King and Bobby Kennedy were killed.
Mm-hmm.
When that happened, the blacks burned part of the city.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you a story that you're not going to believe.
Okay.
We live 20 minutes out of the District of Columbia in a place called Suitland, Maryland.
Right.
Three Jewish families in 400. Our next door neighbor, not next door, upstairs neighbor, was a major, full-time major in the military, Goyim. And he and his wife were both college educated. their daughter babysat Lauren and Sherry when mommy and I, grandma and I would go out.
Right.
So one day the wife says to Ellen, "Ellen, is it true that on Passover you people eat the circumcised penises?" Now, think about this. This is college-educated people only 55 years ago in America.
It's crazy.
Well, there are people that believe that today, believe it or not.
I believe it.
Who's have horns?
Well, okay, so
who
wait.
Was the who was the first president to fly in an airplane? Allie, do you know?
No.
FDR, Franklin Roosevelt. Did you know that Franklin Roosevelt was paralyzed?
Yes, he had polio.
Right, and he was in a wheelchair.
I just did a research project on polio.
Okay. What'd you learn?
I learned that Franklin Roosevelt had polio.
Well, the two guys that developed the injectable polio vaccine, his name was Jonas Salk.
Mm-hmm.
And the second guy was named Sabin.
Mm-hmm.
They were both Jewish.
Huh. Yeah. I did not know that.
I knew that. I knew that before.
I'm learning a lot from this episode.
Yeah, you really okay. are.
And if the world would leave Israel alone, we'd have cures for cancers and everything else. You know, when I was a doctor, as a resident, if a child got leukemia, 95, almost 100% of them died. Today, you know how many die?
No.
A lot less.
5%.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
Because of Israel?
No. I can't credit that to Israel. That came from America. But I believe if we left Israel alone and they didn't have to put all the money into planes and tanks and bombs, the research they do at that Hadassah hospital is remarkable.
Yes. You know, Andrew, Jamie's boyfriend's cousin, is a doctor, and he does research at Tel Aviv University.
Right.
And he's created some cool things.
If the world will leave us alone, we could do it. I know it.
I think you're right. Wait, Poppy, I want to hear more about Martin Luther King, what you remember. So you remember him getting shot. You remember him and Bobby Kennedy being assassinated.
Yes.
That must have, and then the people were rioting in the streets. Like, did that feel like it feels now?
No, because it was confined only to Washington, D.C.
Only in D.C.
Right. And they burned D.C. We saw the
But you were living in, were you living in D.C. still at that time?
Yes. That was our first year there.
I don't think I realized that.
Me either.
So that must have been crazy.
You know, I had a lot of people from India working under me when I was chief resident, and I became friendly with them. And we invited one single guy down to Washington to visit us. We were going to put him up in a hotel.
Right.
And he was black. He was a very dark-skinned Indian native from New Delhi.
Right.
We got to the hotel. They wouldn't let him in. They thought he was a black. So the Washington, D.C. and the suburbs were segregated at that time. This is 55 years ago.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
It really is. So we had to let him sleep at our house. He couldn't go anywhere else.
Wow.
And we were afraid to take him out to a restaurant because the same thing would have happened.
Right.
So we just stayed in. I sent Ellen to the supermarket and we cooked in.
Right. What do you remember about before Martin Luther King was assassinated, like when he was leading the protests and the movement?
Well, first of all, he was a riveting speaker. If you ever heard him speak, you got chills. He just has such command of the language.
Yep.
It was wonderful to listen to him speak.
Yes.
So we actually thought well of him.
Yes.
We remembered a big march in Washington. There were tens of thousands of people with him.
It's pretty unbelievable to think that that was, you know, 50 plus years ago, and they were protesting for the same thing, and now here we are.
And nothing has changed.
Nothing has changed.
Right.
Barely.
That's wow. Right. You look at the coronavirus, it's hitting the minority communities and the Navajo, the Indian communities.
Yes.
The Native American communities, very tough.
With no access to health insurance or medical care.
That's correct.
Right.
That's correct.
Well, we hope that this is the worst thing we see in our lifetimes, but it's pretty crazy that you've seen all these other unbelievable historical moments, and now this is still the craziest thing you've ever seen in this country.
That's correct. I remember rioting in one city at a time, like when Rodney King was killed in L.A. and
right.
another guy was killed in New Orleans. It was confined to one city, not countrywide.
Right. Yeah, countrywide. It's everywhere.
But were there countrywide protests?
Never.
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 It's crazy.
Never, never, never.
It's crazy.
So there have been other countrywide protests in our lifetime.
Yes.
I didn't hear.
There, Allie said there's been other countrywide protests in our lifetime, like the Women's March and things like that, but never right. to this extent.
Yeah, never with rioting and looting and
never
violence.
With violence.
Never yes. with violence, right.
Always peaceful.
Yes.
Well, Poppy, any words of wisdom to help us through? It's pretty... It's crazy to think that this whole year, 2020, will be going down in history for sure.
No question about it.
Everyone's saying that 2020 was a glitch in the simulation.
Daddy thinks we're living in the Matrix and this is just a glitch in the simulation.
Your daddy is one of the smartest people I know.
Yes, he is. And so are you.
I never would have bet on it when I met him.
Well, that's a good teaser for next week, because next week we're going to talk about the first time you met each of your son-in-laws.
Yes. All right, that's fine.
I would like to join that one.
Okay,
as well.
Good.
And I'm not finished yet.
Okay, keep going.
9/11.
Oh, 9/11.
The world stopped on 9/11 for
yes.
me.
Well, like for me, Allie, you too probably, like there's... If I were to think back on my lifetime, there's been a few crazy things, but 9/11 is the only one that comes to mind where I felt the whole country was, like, at a standstill. And
right.
Well, I wasn't born.
You weren't so. Born. But, like, for me, that was the only time I can think of where the whole country was at a standstill and mourning. And just, like, you could sense the energy in the air. That's the only time I can compare to right now. And even so, right now is just like, you can't wrap your head around it.
Do you people believe that God exists?
Yes.
Yeah. So why does he let this happen?
It's unclear.
It's unclear.
We should ask the rabbi.
That's a very good way to put it.
It's very unclear. There has to be some kind of reason, right?
Do you think I'm ever going to see my brother and my Aunt Rose and my parents again?
In heaven?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Do you?
Well, if there's a God, there must be a heaven, no? He must live somewhere.
I guess, but that doesn't necessarily mean you can, like, see people.
Do you think if I go to heaven, I go as an 83-year-old man or I go as a bronzed and beautiful 18-year-old.
I think an 18-year-old.
Definitely an 18-year-old.
I hope you're right, guys.
I think we're definitely right about that.
Okay.
All right, do you have any other crazy... Oh, Mommy said that something about the Yom Kippur War.
Well, I remember it was called the Six-Day War. And we wiped out the Egyptian army.
Mommy said she remembers, like, sitting in temple and that it was just so crazy.
I don't remember that, sitting in Temple. I do remember the first year I lived in Great Neck was that war.
Right.
And I do remember going to a UJA meeting. We had just bought our house. They had a big meeting when the war started.
Mm.
And there must have been hundreds of people there. And it was run by Ben Duell, who was Mommy's friend's grandfather.
Oh, wow.
He was a wealthy guy. And he ran the meeting, and he called for money. So guys would stand up and say, I'm going to give $500,000. Another guy would get up. I'm going to give $750,000. I'm going to give $1 million. I'm going to give $2 million. And Ellen and I looked at each other. We didn't have two nickels to rub together.
That's funny.
Yep.
That's crazy.
A true story.
Wow.
You know, I didn't start to work in my practice until I was 31.
Right.
I already had a 5 or 6 year old and a 4 year old. And we always had sleeping help. And we always had 2 cars. My father supported us royally. And that was the first year I stopped taking money from him.
That when you first opened your practice?
That's when I first went into practice, yes.
Right.
You know how much money I made that year?
Like?
$17,500.
Wow.
That was twice as much money as I ever made any year in my whole life. When I went in the Air Force, I made $2,500 the first year, in the last year as a resident. And then when I went in the Air Force, I got $10,000. I thought I was enormously rich.
It's so crazy. It's so different now.
So different. Well, money isn't worth anything now. There are 2 things that have changed. One is the worth of money, and the second is disrespect for the sanctity of life. When I was a kid, 15 or 16, I used to go into the city on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
I'd ride the subway. I'd come home at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning on the subway. I never feared for my life. If I got bugged, they would take my wallet. They would take my ring and my watch.
Right.
But I would come home alive. Today, you're dead.
That's true, especially if you're someone of color.
So there's no respect for the sanctity of life anymore. And that's why it's hard for me to believe there's a God sitting up there looking down at us.
That's true. It is hard. It's crazy.
Yep.
It's really crazy.
Yep.
And we have to be also thankful for what we have, our family, and all the privileges that we all grew up with, and do what we can to help make sure it's better for everyone.
That's correct.
Well, Poppy, I have learned a lot in this episode.
Me too.
I hope so.
Can we close it out with a word of the day, though?
Let me think of a word. Well, I asked you the word. Flamboyance.
Oh, right. No, I forgot that was a word.
It doubles as a riddle and a word.
That was a riddle and a word. Do you have another word?
Well, I can't think of another word. I prepared that one.
Okay, what about... We'll just leave it at...
No, it's not coming to me.
That's okay.
That's what happens when you get old. You forget.
We'll save it. We'll save it for next week.
Okay, good.
Thank you so much for coming to us over FaceTime to do this. Any last words for your listeners?
Oh, I think I'm done.
All right. We love you so much. We're going to stop the podcast, but then we can keep talking, okay?
All right, good, honey. I love you both so much. I want to hug you.
We want to hug you too. All right, everyone. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Thank you, baby.